feel like all that I had to say today has come forth. And I want to say that really there's no feeling like that. To know that your prayer, your thought, your meditation, that God is confirming it for you. That He's letting you know that you, not your neighbor, your sons, your daughters, your mother, your father, your cousin, your extended family, but you, that His thoughts, that His mind, that His intention and purpose are focused on you. We sang the song, the strength reaches to me. It reaches to me. And you have to take a moment and pause and to be present and to think. All of God's creation, His power, His provision, His purpose, His plan, all of it, it reaches to me. And you can say that for yourself. When you think on God, it reaches to you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter what your circumstance, it reaches His strength, His hope, His power. It reaches to you, and it reaches to me. And I thank the Lord for this opportunity, this time to share just a few minutes as we walk through a couple of verses and we can see how God reaches to us. I started this week, probably like a lot of you, wondering, what is God doing now? I'm doing what I feel that I should be doing. I work hard. I try very hard. Try to put my heart in the right place. And yet, things kind of turn in a direction that you don't expect them to. At a time that you don't expect them to. That it doesn't work according to the plan that you thought you had laid out. That you prepared for, and you saw it through. You look at yourself and you say, I can't be looked at like this one or that one. I work hard. I get up. Not lazy. My eyes are turned to the hills. From whence cometh all my help. For all my help cometh from the Lord. I think high of myself, but not too high. Not more highly than I ought to. certain amount of humility. No man is an island unto himself, they say, right? And today, God has asked me to stand on Father's Day. Father's Day. I've stood on Mother's Day before and shared. And the adoration and the respect and the appreciation for mothers is, it's without words. But fathers, fathers don't receive the same due. By way of testimony, I don't know my father. I've never shared a moment in time with my father. And I'm humble. I know that I am not the only one who has had that experience. And even for those that have had the moments, as our pastor said, sometimes it comes short. It really doesn't resonate in our lives the same way that mothers do. But I was looking to Father God for some help, some direction, some hope in my present situation. My wife and I are good, our children good. But again, God throws curveball, allows a curveball sometimes in your life. And so I said prayer. And I already pray. So, what is it, God, in this moment about prayer, do you want me to see? And I opened the book, as we ought to. And he took me to Matthew. The 6th chapter. And there you find a very familiar part of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer. It's also in Luke, but I like the way it reads in Matthew because my grandmother taught me that prayer. And I remember her singing it with me. And today I sing it with my children. Amen. And still I said, what, Lord, am I not seeing? And so if you will turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We really find the words of the Lord's Prayer beginning at the 9th verse. But as I was taught, as I became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you're looking at a passage, you really want to look before and after the passage. You're looking for context. And even if you look in other parts of the book, that's the entire Bible, if you look in other parts, you will find confirmation. That if he said it here, you can be sure that God also said it there. And another place, you can find confirmation that God's word is true. And not only is it true, he meant it. Amen. And so I opened the book to chapter 6, but then I flipped back to the beginning of where he starts teaching on prayer. And the Lord God says at verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And I paused for a moment, and I thought about that reward. You will find as you live this life that there are people who have what we consider a reward. They are winning. They seem to be going through life, even though they are hypocrites. But they're building, they're succeeding. They're doing all the things that we really expect of ourselves and hope for ourselves and our families, and they seem to be winning. And I myself, serious about the Lord, and I still am having these difficulties. And then my mind went to Job and to Joseph. And to Daniel. To Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. My mind went to these because they too, though they believed in the Lord, though they stood for the Lord, though they had faith in God's word, things took a turn for the worse. Job's wife. I don't know about you, I'm married. But if my wife said to me, "Just curse the Lord and die," that's what she said. Curse the God. Heaven and earth. The Lord of ages. The beginning and the end. Curse the Lord and die. That's how bad his situation had become. So if you think that your situation is bad, you need only reflect and look at what God has shown you. It can get bad. Even if you are a believer, even if you have faith, even if you sing the psalms and the songs and you pray and you hope and you believe, sometimes it can get bad. It really can. And you will have those that don't even believe like you believe, or come and sit in the front row and follow the guidance that you've been given. You will have those that don't do any of that, and they seem like they're living life abundantly. And I guarantee to you that there are some that will never step in the house of God. And you would believe, looking on the outside, that they were blessed. And let me tell you a truth. God reigns on the just and the unjust. How would it be that any of us were saved if he did not reign on the unjust? It is important to know that God loves us all. God loves us all. And because God loves us does not mean that we won't go through trial and tribulation. It does not mean that. But our trial and tribulation does have purpose. God is working all things together for good for those that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And so I continued to look at this and I said, maybe I just have to think on what I know and not concentrate on those things that really have no purpose. Instead, look at the things that God is purposing. Instead, look at God's plan. And you might find answers when you pray. And so I continue to read. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What people see when they see you will not be the things of the world, the reward that the common man has. We have something much more. People can see it on your countenance when they look at you. Sometimes you might not ever have to say the word, I am a believer. I am a disciple of God. I'm a Christian. And they will know just by your countenance, by your glow, how you carry yourself, the strength, the countenance that you have. They will know that you are a child of God. We are his children. Father is an apt term. We heard about adoption earlier. Lord, have mercy. To come to the point where you realize you were on the outside, seemingly unloved, uncared for, and then you get adopted. That is all of us. All of us. Your creed, where you come from, your heritage, your family, the wrongdoings, and so many of the rights. It doesn't matter. We who believe, we are all adopted. You are in the family. You have the blessing. You have the favor. You have the assurance. You don't have to wander from this place or that place and feel that the Lord God has left you. He is always present. The Father is always present. And that's why, as I started today, when God confirms it for you, when God lets you know, lets you see, the Holy Spirit. And I'm amazed at how God has manifested himself. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How he can be your Father. And your Father, and reach to me also. Amen. It is amazing, his creation. It is amazing, his person. It is amazing, his spirit. And so when we read Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You have to realize he is not like a human, a man, a woman. God the Father is hallowed. He is set apart. Awesome. High above. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Hallowed be thy name. And I think that we do too much to think that because among Christians and among men and among fathers, we don't see God or the standard or perfection. The world believes that God does not live. Instead of all of us with our eyes, again, looking to the hills, seeing the Lord God in all of his awesome, mighty power, and saying, I will be perfect like he is perfect. I will follow after God. I will set my mind on the things of God and not be dismayed or distracted on the things of men. trust in the Lord thy God. Don't trust in men. You know it. All the time that you have lived, if you trust in man, he will let you down. There will be some mistake. There will be some flaw. There will be some error. But if you trust in Jesus, if you trust in the Lord our God, he will not let you down. And so my mind had to go to God's plan, not my own. Because he does have plan and purpose for us. We are his children, and like any father, he cares and he loves. That he is faithful. We can trust him. And so I had to get away from what it was that I thought should be happening and had to look at the Lord's Prayer. Jesus telling us after this manner we should pray. And if you take all the things that we are concerned about and all the things that we could pray for, there is no way this short passage, 5, 6, 7 verses, could account for them all, could it? Let us quickly look closely. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So again, we are adoring God. And if you think about all the things that you adore, all the things that you love, all the things that you appreciate, you have not come to a place of adoration if you have not spent any time, any communion, any thinking, any thoughts. You don't come to a place of adoration if you dismiss, if you set aside. If you don't include that in your daily walk and how you think, the things that you think of and are concerned with, you don't come to a place of adoration if you don't do that. If you don't hold that thing close with seriousness and with awesomeness, with sincerity, you're not going to adore anything that you don't do that with. Nothing. Nothing will reach that place in your heart of thanksgiving, of adoration, if you don't spend your time thinking on it. And think of the first little love letter you wrote. No, that's not good enough. Taking pieces of paper and crumbling them up and starting over because you don't really have the words to say how much your heart has been taken and gripped. You can't eat. Stay up at night sleeping because adoration. For the purpose, for the person, for getting to know them, to come closer to them. You adore them. And that's what God is trying to move us to with all of his love, with all of his reaching, with all of his blessing, with all of his assurance, with all of his promise. He's trying to reach us. Each one of us. He's trying to reach us. So darned be all the people and the politics, and I've got God. If you want to do me wrong, I've got God. If the plan doesn't go as I expected it to, I've got God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Not my will, Lord. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It lets us know that it's already been established. And now we're asking for what God has established to be a part of our life here on earth. I can't look to my neighbor to give it to me. No, not what's in heaven. Not what God established, unless we are willing to give over to God's will, not our own. Thy will be done. The reason why you don't see God's purpose and plan manifesting itself, because we who believe, we're not saying, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth. His will becomes manifest on earth because we see to it. I believe it was John that said, silver and gold, that I do not have, but such as I have, I give to thee. We have God's word. We have God's plan. We have God's assurance. Share it with someone. Be that good neighbor. Be that good Samaritan. It is right here in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the petition. That's the asking. But don't look past the fact that he said this day. This day. Give us this day. No thought for tomorrow, really, not here in this prayer. He's asking us to model ourselves thinking about today. Give us this day our daily bread. Be present. It doesn't make any sense for us to race to the house of the Lord and then get here and think about the game or the dinner or the this thing or that thing after we leave. Be present. Sing to the Lord. We're, of course, all because we are singing together, praising the Lord our God. Creator of heaven and earth. This day, our daily bread. He told us Don't worry about the things of tomorrow. I will bless you. I will take care of it. The lilies of the field? No, they don't. The birds? No, no. How much more will he bless us? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I like this part of, and the use of the word debt. I've been in debt. I know what it is financially to be in debt and not knowing how you're going to get out. Planning and being a good shepherd and working hard, amen. Striving to get out of debt. When you trespass, when you sin, when you hurt another, it is debt. And God has let us know that there is no way to get beyond, to get over, to get around our own sin. We cannot do it. The trespasses are too great, too many. And even if there are few, we don't possess the blood that Jesus Christ possessed. Faultless, blameless. We drank today at the Lord's table. Confessing his blood. Because it covers a multitude. Multitude is not a full enough word. It covers all of our sins. You are free. Free indeed. But this, as we forgive our debtors. You've got somebody that you won't forgive. They did you wrong. You can't get past it. You can't get over it. Father that maybe has forsaken you. Somebody that's lied on you. Somebody who misrepresented so that they win over you. By way of testimony, I sat in a congregation and I was feeling the calling of the Lord. And I said, God, I can't preach your word. I don't have a testimony like that preacher. Live long enough. Somebody will lie on you. Somebody will steal from you. Somebody will do you wrong. You said that you were patient last week. And yet they cursed you. Live long enough, somebody will do you wrong. But if we are unable to forgive them, the word right here says, as we forgive our debtors. Elsewhere, the Bible tells us if we are unwilling to forgive, your Father, which is in heaven, will not forgive you. He intends for you to be perfect, that is, mature, like he is. If he forgave you, how is it that you would not forgive another? No matter how hurting, no matter how much it stung, think of what it is that God feels. Think. All of his love, all of his blessing. And yet folks go day to day thinking nothing of him. Nothing of the Lord our God. You think that you were abandoned. God, many, many, many times over, with all of his creation, it doesn't take a lot to see how God must feel when we do not spend the time to appreciate and to be thankful and to be grateful for life and what he has given us. And we must forgive. And he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Lead me to believing. Lead me to joy. Lead me to appreciation. Lead me to great satisfaction for thy name's sake. God loved us first. That is why we love him. He loved us first. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and all the glory. We have to understand who we are. We are children of the Father. And if we want overcoming, if we want to get past all of our valleys and stumbling blocks, the things that others would put in our way, the enemy will put in our way, we have to recognize that we are children of God. That we are children of the true and the faithful and the just Lord our God. Going back to the beginning, I mentioned Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The king said, you will bow down to my idols. That's what the world is saying to each and every one of us. Get caught up. You will bow down to the money and to the politics. And to all the people that will trespass and do you wrong. Get caught up in that. You will bow. And if you don't bow, I will throw you into the fiery furnace. Surely he was saying, you will die if you don't do it my way. And they said, our God is able. Our God is able. But even if he doesn't deliver, I will not bow down. I will all of my days praise the Lord God, because he has made me, he has kept me, he has promised to deliver me. And even if he doesn't do it, I will not serve the world, your God, your idols. I will always praise the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. Amen.